This is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. Joining me today, back again, is Blake Weiland from the guitar-centered podcast called The Tone Mob, and Richard Oliver, Wampler's own quote-unquote man of many hats, longtime tone chaser, and oftentimes the voice of the words that you read on our social media. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Got Commander Leakage on here. That'd be Richard.
Don't give away my code names.
And Burger Boy, which is Blake.
Yeah, I'm hungry, if you can't tell.
You're always hungry. So the software that we use, you can like write your name on here. And every week, these two Yahoos have completely different names. All the time, every time. Blake's is always something around I'm hungry or food. Some sort of food.
Yeah, it's usually like what I'm thinking about getting for lunch. That's usually what it is. Because, you know, this is pre-lunch in my time zone when we record. So it's what's on my mind. I'm like the Hulk, though. Like, you know how he says, my secret is I'm always angry. I'm always hungry. That's just how I am.
My secret is I'm always hungry.
That's because in your spare time, you lift up Chevrolets for a hobby, right? You're like the smallest, world's heaviest lifter or something, right?
Man, not lately. I've been with all the power outage and all the nonsense. I'm a little behind the curve, but I think
weights
things are starting
don't use
to get
electricity.
Normal.
What's wrong with you?
No, but when you have to spend your whole day keeping the fireplace running, that tends to take up a lot of time. So I guess I was splitting wood. It's not like I was completely inactive, but it's not
with
exactly
his bare
the same
hands.
Thing. Yeah, just peeling it apart.
How are you doing, Brian? What's going on?
Oh, so today is sort of fantastic. Last week with the weather update, I was talking about how it was, you know, like 10 degrees Fahrenheit here, which is something really cold in Celsius. Today it is in the 50s, which is 10.5 degrees Celsius. And it feels amazing. It's like summer. I'm walking around in my shorts and flip-flops and t-shirt, just hanging out, laying out in the sun. It's so awesome. But so it's good. Other than me, I don't know if I sound a little nasally. This time every year, I get like a month long sinus coldy thing, which is just the weather change. So basically, it sort of feels like I have a hangover without the fun before the hangover.
All of the negatives, none of the positives.
Right.
Well, that'll teach you to live where you live for that time of the year.
Yeah.
That's what you get. That's what you deserve.
I'm still thinking about what the sun looks like. I vaguely remember it. It came out for at least a day last year, maybe even two. But the fact that you've seen it this year is, yeah, somewhat surprising to me. Although I did go out at 6 o'clock my time out here and it was still light. So, summer is coming.
It's very hard to work when it's nice outside. I always find myself today, I really just want to skip work and just go do something outside.
That's
nice.
Why the English are so hard working, because there's never any nice weather to skip work for. We right. may as well just get on with the task. Cup of tea and
my work,
right?
A lot of my work involves being on the phone. So I love it when it's nice because I'm just on the phone and all day walking around outside, which is actually quite enjoyable. I like that part of my
life. I would love that. If I'm on the phone, though, I have to be near a computer because I'm usually typing out notes in some weird way. So that would be not very handy to drag around a laptop while I'm on my walk, you know?
Well, I've gotten so used to mobile stuff that, yeah, I whip out. I got apps for that. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. I probably have an app for it somewhere, or I've improvised one to work for me.
Oh, I spend far too much time on my device. It's not a nice thing to be constantly active on something or other, right? But that is just the way of the world at the moment, sadly.
Yeah.
Do you have an app for intonation? Because I had to re-intonate my 335 before. Well, I'm getting ready to do a video releasing a pedal this week. So I'm,
what?
Yeah.
I've heard absolutely nothing about this pedal. Nowhere at all on the internet has in any way leaked it, in the most controversial leak since Peter Davidson's brooch. That's a little Doctor Who gag there for the three English listeners who will get it. But yeah, what pedal, Brian?
Well, we're releasing a buffer. It doesn't do anything. It's just a buffer.
See, I read on the internet, and I'm told the internet's a very reliable source of information these days, that it's both the best-looking pedal you've ever designed and the worst-looking. You are both the most wonderful guy in the pedal industry and also one of the biggest jerks.
Right, and one of the worst at the same time.
Yeah, and also this pedal is both a complete waste of time and the exact pedal that everyone's been asking us for.
Right. So
we should have called it Schrodinger's, well, I nearly gave it away there. Whoa!
Well, when's this episode dropping? Could we talk about it? Or
we could talk about it. Why not?
I mean, it releases Friday. We're probably not going to hold the episode back till then, so listeners are getting a little bit of an extra sneak preview if they've not seen anything else, I guess.
There you go. There you go. So it's called The Cat's What?
After this week, it's going to be called The Cat O' Nine Tails, based on the verbal dressing downs Brian has had to give me for it leaking constantly. Such a hard task, Master Brian.
So I'll go ahead and spill the beans to our podcast listeners, because we love them more. It's based on a rat type of circuit, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it is it's like a distortion type of fuzz, like the rat, that does a lot more, because I don't like just doing direct clones. I hate that. But we've been asked to do rat pedals a lot for the past several years, and I've resisted, much like I did the Tumnus for a long time. And I changed my mind. I just felt, I've done videos on the rat talking about how much I love it. And I'm like, I should just do like my version of a rat. That would be fun, because there's a lot of mods that I like to do to that circuit that I don't see others do, which, I mean, so we alluded to me being the worst and the best and the pedal being a dumb idea. While the best idea, that was based on a thread on the Gear Page. Which,
that sounds like the Gear Page. That's the Gear Page I know and love.
I mean, someone somewhere said the Gear Page just seems like everyone that got kicked off of Facebook. Like, that's where they go now. I don't know if that's true, but
outrageous.
I have read that. I will say that some people do like my videos, while saying it's the worst videos they've ever seen.
Yeah, you are the worst human being ever, Brian. We know that.
Right, right. I completely suck, while I'm also a pretty nice guy, which, you know, I mean, I get it. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I mean,
you can't please everyone all the time.
You can't be loved by everyone. That's what my mom says, you know.
Yeah, but when she says it to you, isn't that a little
right, right,
worrying?
That's what right,
sorry,
when she
Brian.
Says that, I'm like, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong?
She's saying, like, well, I'm glad Amanda loves you, but I don't. Is that what she's trying
right.
to say?
That's, I think that's what she's alluding to, yes.
I mean, for me, releasing this pedal is a milestone for a couple of reasons. This was an idea you and I talked about sort of 2 years ago as part of something else, but it was definitely kicked around. Two, the way I got into Wampler pedals was by going to my local guitar store in Southampton and asking for a rat pedal, and they didn't have one. So I picked up a Moore Black Secret, but I also picked up a Wampler Sovereign at the time, which is nothing like a rat. But I tried it out in the shop. I was like, I like the rat sound, but I also like this. And literally that pedal is what actually led me to reaching out and ending up where I am, because it really intrigued me. It was such a great pedal compared to other pedals. But going back even further, the first dirt pedal I ever bought was a rat in 1989, which I lent to a good friend of mine who's now a death metal drummer and as a result has no idea what happened to my pedal. But yeah, I love the Rat. I love the sound of it. And I'm really liking playing this one.
Yeah. And it looks good, but also like complete crap. I think it looks really, really good. It's classy.
Well, it was one of those where we'd kicked around several names. It's actually had about three totally different designs, but
three. I was thinking 30. 30 different names and graphics.
You're making me sound bad now.
not that it's all your fault.
It's entirely all my fault, and I will self-flagellate as a consequence. But no, we had to come up with a different name for it. We changed the direction a bit, and me and you were just kicking ideas around, and you literally just said the name Ratsbane to me, and I immediately thought Ratsbane, Rat Poison, The Plague. I don't know where I jumped there, and I was like, it's got to be a plague doctor. Absolutely. The 2020 is the year of the plague for us. We've right. got to stick a plague doctor on there. And the fact that it looks a little bit like a rat, and in fact, some people thought that's what it was, I was like, yep, I'll go with that. So we sort of took that graphic and we changed it up and made it a bit more our own. And
well, apparently you guys didn't like my name, The Ratstortion. I don't know why.
We rejected the name Mouse in early days, probably alongside other names like Beaver, Womp Rat. Wombat, Womp Rat. Lucasfilm were kind of a little bit high in our minds when we did that. This definitely isn't its first name, but I think it works. I love it.
I love rats.
All right.
I love them. So that's all I can say about it, because I wasn't involved.
We'll send you one.
Okay.
We'll swap it for strings.
I do find it fascinating. When reading through this Gear Page thread, people were very stuck on LM308 type stuff. Like all these cheap pedals come with the LM308. How come no one else can? I don't think that a lot of folks understand those who don't know, the LM38 is the original chip in the Rat that many kind of falsely believe is responsible for the sound of the Rat. There's a lot of those, if you look on eBay for those chips, you can find those chips like crazy. The problem is, a lot of times those are it'll be a different single op amp that just is reprinted because you can sell LM38s for like 10 or 15 bucks or something stupid. And so people will take a 20-cent chip and reprint them. Not people, usually companies in other places. They'll reprint them and, try to sell them off as something they aren't. And if you have a pedal company, it's hard to not know if it's a real one unless you have equipment to measure and all that kind of crap.
You mean you don't personally test all 10,000 that you order? that's ludicrous.
I don't personally, not me. I'm just the guy that breadboards stuff. You don't want me.
Don't lie.
I'm not good at doing a repetitive task. I do board my bread. Yes,
yeah,
I do.
You do. To your credit, you love nothing more than boarding your bread. So, but yeah, we
testing 10,000 testing 10,000 of anything is not. I'm okay-ish if I have to do the same thing twice, three times. Nope, I'm done.
But we have done something to kind of appease anybody that does want to go down that 308 route. Perhaps you'd like to tell the listeners.
Oh, sure,
about
sure.
That.
So. Just to clarify, no, I did not use the 308. I used a different chip that I think, in my opinion, for this type of circuit, works better, sounds better, and is the tolerances are better, the noise floor is better, etc. But I also know that there's going to be some people that just insist on the 308. And so rather than using like a surface mount chip, we threw a socket in there, regular size socket, so you could pull what we used and stick whatever single op amp you want in there.
And void the warranty in the process.
No, that will not void it, actually. No, it's completely set up for a 308 if you want to put a 308 in there. I just we can't buy 5,000 of those.
But you said any chip. I'm going to try hammering a Pentium 90 in there and seeing what happens.
Yes, totally use a Pentium chip in there. It'll totally work fine. It'll work
amazing.
I'm going to
stick another 1990s IT joke.
Oh, watch it. Say that again.
Oh, I said I'm going to put a kettle cooked potato chip in there.
Oh, potato chips. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Potato chips, barbecue potato chips work best in this pedal.
That gag doesn't work over here because your chips are our crisps.
Well,
I've just blown Blake's mind. I can hear it.
I like all of my fried potato goods, so I'm not going to discriminate on what we're calling them. I'm not going to be too upset if I order chips and, you know, French fries show up. That's fine with me. That's okay. I'll be all right. I think it is worth noting on the 308, I don't know if you want to call it drama. It's probably not drama. The people's preference for the 308, that one of the most popular and hypey radish circuits in the last few years has been the 1981 DRV. Mm-hmm. And people love that pedal, and I love that pedal. It's not exactly a rat, but it's in that ballpark. And it doesn't use 308s.
No, it does not.
I don't
not.
Remember what chip it uses, but it doesn't use 308s. And people love it.
I think it's a TL-071.
That sounds right. That does sound right.
Other op amps are available from your local retailer.
Let me look at the schematic real quick. I happen to have...
I happen to have it open.
Let me do a quick search. It's certainly TL-072s, which is the dual op amp version of the 71s.
Yeah, so, rookie mistake.
But yeah, so, that's a great pedal, and it doesn't need them. And I know you can make a cool circuit with those, or with a different op amp, and it's going to sound great. I have several examples myself. So I'm excited to check this thing out.
We'll be right back.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions, and we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in, and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yep, the 1981 was a little bit of inspiration here because I like the sound of that. Now, let me clarify. This is not a clone of the 1981 in any way. So, but it did give me a little bit of inspiration because he used the 72. And so the 71 is the single op amp version of that. And I think that's what I used in this version, the 71. Just sounds so good with it. I like it a lot more.
I mean, the reaction we've had from people who have got it for demo, etc., has been very, very positive. But somebody that I know, I won't embarrass him, but he said it was exactly like his 1987 Rat pedal, which is all I needed to know. He's a Rat aficionado, so that's totally in line with how I feel about it. I got to say, I've been playing it as my main kind of game pedal now for the last 3 weeks, I think, and I've really dialed in lovely settings with it. The extra gain that you've added is spot on. It lets you do so much more. I think people are going to really love it, but not everybody loves the Rat, and as we've already proved, everything we do is both good and bad simultaneously.
Right. Yeah. I mean, my favorite feature on this particular pedal is that voice switch, which completely changes the characteristics. So in one setting, you have like, this is the stock Rat type of, the old vintage stock Rat type setting. Then you flip the voice switch, and now it's completely different. Like now it's more of a medium high gain distortion sort of thing. Very tight, very, it's not really a fuzz anymore. It's a totally different circuit. Still cool, just different.
I've got to confess, I've got that flicked over to that side right now. Yeah. I really enjoy that setting. That's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's got a little more bump and higher mids, and it's just its voice completely different. To me, like that's been my main distortion since Cali, a month and a half, which is a long time for me.
So in hindsight, yes, sucks to be you without one there, Blake, but no, we'll send one over to you, man.
I know the guy that makes those, Blake. I'm sure we can work out a deal.
I don't think anyone feels bad for me not having a pedal. I don't think that is something.
You've got some choice toys in the shred shed, I know.
Yeah, I'm a little bit spoiled. I was actually recording with Josh Scott yesterday for a Tone Mob episode, and I think, like, you know, he's one of the few people that has more pedals than I do immediately available. And so I was like, wow, I guess I got something to strive for. I'm gonna reach for those goals. Try to get to the Josh Scott level of pedal acquisition one day.
Did you guys talk about Josh's TikTok game?
We did a little bit. We didn't get into it heavily. We talked actually. We talked about you and how, like, he saw. Yeah, it was really negative stuff he was saying, too.
Josh is a good dude, man. I love that guy.
Yeah, we were talking about how, like, so we did a little digging on air, and the last time he was on Tone Mob was in October of 2015. So a long time ago. Yeah. And we were talking about how right around that time, he kind of made the same calculation that you had already been making, which is, you know, traditional guitar, quote unquote, marketing, kind of not that effective, not that great. And that's when he really started trying to do more content based stuff. I know he had a podcast for a little while.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
He was like, yeah, I found out that was a lot of work and wanted to do something else. So he started working with his guy to, you know, just produce more content in general. And eventually that evolved into the behemoth that is the JHS show now. And he said it all started with, like, just kind of the observations that you and I have made over the years of, like, this isn't working. Why are we continuing to spend $1,500, $2,000 on this ad that we don't, it just kind of goes out into the ether and who knows what happens, you know? Like, let's start taking control and doing it on our own. And and he actually, you know, I know you and I pay attention to people like Gary Vee. He actually kind of came to this conclusion on his own. He was like, I don't follow a lot of digital marketing guys. I just realized I was tired of wasting money and time and wanted to try something else. So it was a cool chat. We went all over the place.
I mean, to quote one of the greatest movies of all time, and almost certainly messed the quote up, but the printed word is dead, as Egon Spengler, I believe, said in Ghostbusters. But it's totally been part of my world for the last sort of 10 years, is teaching people that the return on investment is one thing, but being able to measure it instantly, having those statistics and being able to be flexible and adapt to what you're reading in is what makes digital marketing so compelling for everybody. And, you know, there's no doubt that Josh has done a fantastic job with what he does. But at the same time, I'm very proud of everything that Wampler have done, and proud to be part of it, because you've cut a really nice pathway through the whole content marketing, Brian. It's fantastic.
Well, it wasn't just me, but I appreciate it.
Can I have a pay rise now?
You can. Yeah. It's not, it's,
I said the words you told me to say.
I will gladly give you one Ratsbane.
Thank you, sir. There's no I in team, but there's a U in,
No, I mean, digital marketing sounds kind of gooey and icky to, especially if you're more of a creative type, but, like, at least to me, especially in like a 2021 post corona era where it seems like everything has completely changed over a year or the last decade of 2020, as I would call it. I think there's so many different ways for a person to kind of take what they do and love and capitalize on it in not only in a financial way, but in a way that brings benefits to others. So like, I mean, like, for example, look at Tom Quayle, a great guitar player, and he has the site that has all kinds of lessons, and he's doing all these different areas of content delivery. I mean, that's an icky term as well. He's making lessons and all these other things that people want to watch and want to listen to. And, you know, so by doing that, he's able to make a living as a guitarist outside of playing any gigs or making albums. I mean, he does make albums and stuff, but that's not really how he's becoming, how he's making a fantastic living being a musician. He's doing everything. How do I put it? Well, I mean, Richard, you built a site for him, and you helped him out with a lot of that stuff.
I was just
going to
say, he's got a great website, Brian. That is the cornerstone of any nutritious marketing campaign, definitely. No, I mean, he's very switched on. Have no doubt he impresses me as much with kind of his breadth of knowledge in the whole market as he does with his playing. In fact, he again, not giving away too much here, but he may well have recorded us a little demo for a pedal that's coming out on Friday. And I just said to him for about the third or fourth time, that's it, I'm giving up. I'm playing the triangle. You are too damn good on a guitar, man, and you need to get yourself recorded. And he's like, I don't have time. I've got too many other things going on. So, I mean, look, people, you know, like Tom, like the aforementioned Josh, like yourself, the thing everyone has in common is, and also you, Blake, as well, I'm not going to leave you out of this one. I'll show you some love here. You know, we're all hardworking guys. Every one of you puts the hours in and gets the reward. Nothing good in life is easy, but definitely not in business, right?
So I just noticed something completely off topic, but you're wearing a David Gilmour shirt. was your clean shirts, no clean shirts today? Is that what
Come
the problem
on.
Was?
We've got to have a week where we don't mention Gilmour and Floyd in a negative way.
Oh, I just love giving
but
you
okay.
crap.
Yeah, no, I picked this up at the 2016 Rattle That Lock Tour, Brian. One of the finest pieces of music I've ever witnessed at the Royal Albert Hall. I wish you were there.
Wish you were here, maybe?
Oh, hey.
I think it was about money. I think it was maybe time.
Yeah, I was going to say if you had the time. But yes, this whole conversation has left me comfortably numb. So, you know. Mic drop. Moving swiftly
Dad
on
jokes.
From Pink Floyd. At this point, I hope none of our listeners have fallen asleep because the Floyd has been mentioned. But yeah. So, Blake, you were talking to me, well, about two things just before we hit record. One of them was the harp and the second was a pedal. Do you want to fill us in a little?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm working on something kind of cool. I'm as everybody knows, I've been like really trying to refocus more strictly on making music to make music and not necessarily just to show off gear or whatever. But because I'm a hyper gear nerd, of course these rigs I assemble become obscene. But basically there is a woman on YouTube and Instagram. Her name is, well, on Instagram she goes by Emily Harpist, and I think her YouTube channel is the same. Her name's Emily Hopkins, but she plays harp and uses a lot of pedals. She does demos for various companies. I think she's done some stuff for Earthquaker, and I know she's used her harp on the Hologram Microcosm, which is something I got in and I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But she does a thing where she records a harp piece, and then she asks her viewers and listeners to, if they want to, they can take the stems and they can chop them up. They can do whatever they want with them and assemble them into another piece. And then she does a live reaction video to it on her channel. And I was like, why not? That sounds like a good time. And so that's something I'm working on because, like, you know, I don't have enough things to do now. I'm trying to put together a track for her, and she actually reacts to them in real time. So when she listens to whatever kind of mess I make on her YouTube channel, that'll be her real reaction. And I don't know, it's kind of a fun exercise in getting out of my comfort zone. So we'll see what I come up with. But her piece is very, it's very nice on its own. So hopefully I don't screw it up too much. Yeah, that's what I'm working on this week, music wise, outside of trying to mix.
I love it when I see people using when you see people using instruments that you just don't expect to hear your pedals with. We had a guy on Instagram, and I was rapidly trying to scroll through and find him, but apologies, I couldn't. And he was playing, I think it was either a Greek or a Turkish classical instrument, like a lute type of instrument, something like that. So, a strung acoustic thing through a tumnus, and it sounded fantastic. I'm digging that. We moved on from this onto one of the most expensive pedals I think that I want to buy, right?
The Microcosm? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, it's a...
I'm getting gas.
I got one of these in recently, and I was very excited about it. And it actually, you know when you have high expectations, and that can sometimes be a bad thing, because you actually get to try it, or you get to finally watch the movie, and then you're like, oh, that was good, but I wanted it to be better. This is the opposite of that. I had very high expectations, and I plugged it in. I'm like, this is even better than what I thought. It's really a lot of fun. So the Microcosm is made by Hologram Electronics, and it is, I don't know what the easiest way to describe it is. It's a looper. It has a reverb. It has a multi-pattern delay. It has all these different modes. So it's got micro loop mode, glitch mode, granules, multi-delay. You can reverse the order of things. You can change the frequency of the wave shapes. It's so hard to describe what this thing does. That's why everyone's like, it's a kind of a unique pedal in and of itself. I think it's got 45 plus effects outside of the looper, and several different modes in which to engage the looper. It's really, you can create some insane sounds with it. And I've just barely scratched the surface. But what's really cool about it is, even though it's very complicated and you can get extremely, extremely deep, all of the modes in it, like if you just want to plug in and find some new sounds without really knowing what you're doing, you can get some beautiful stuff just right out of the box. And that sometimes is a struggle with the deeper, more complicated pedals like this, where you plug in and you just have no idea where you're at or what it's doing or what it's going to do next. And this can do that, but it's also extremely usable right out of the box. And I've been really, really insanely impressed with the Micro Loop Mosaic mode. I can just play for hours listening to my sound kind of trail off and break apart. I'm in love with this thing. It's so good.
I think I'm sold. I think I was sold when we spoke earlier. As I say, it's at the upper end of my budgetary range for a pedal. It's definitely in, I could buy a new synth for that territory. But I've always been a fan of how it looks, that their design is nice and minimal. But I've heard a few demos, and you and I just talking about it earlier. That's it. I'm sold. I'm going to get one in for my birthday.
So I have to ask. Yeah? Are people asking why it's not in a mini sized enclosure?
They definitely are.
Because I'm just thinking, well, like, if we came out with this, that would be the first question. When's it coming out in a mini? I'm like, have you seen it?
And then when we bring it out in a mini, I hate minis. Minis are too small for my feet. Right. Why do you keep making minis?
Minis are stupid. Why are we doing minis? Yeah. Let's see. I don't know if this one's going to fit in mini. Let's count how many knobs we have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 knobs, 3 foot switches, 3 buttons that select different things. And then at the top, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 inputs and outputs, I should say. So we got the 9-volt, the MIDI in and out. Output right, output left, expression in, and mono/stereo input. So it's going to be hard to cram in a mini. Yeah. What's that?
Does this use a regular power supply, or does it come with its own brick?
It does come with its own brick, but I don't remember what the milliamps on it. I've been running it off of my my OneSpot Pro, so
right.
I can't remember which output I have to use, but it'll run off a regular power supply.
Okay, going to check it out at some point, definitely. But yeah, probably going to struggle to fit that one in a mini there, Bri. maybe a 1.5 wide will do it. If we use those little tiny plastic knobs.
I don't think we could fit all the jacks in a mini, let alone the circuit.
Oh, that reminds me of the other conversation we had earlier today where I thought I'd invented something and you promptly told me that would blow up my amplifier if I used it.
Also known as how to set your amplifier on fire. Yes.
So I have an attenuator and it's a two notes captor, and if you want to play it silently, you have to unplug the speaker, which is fine, but that's a bit of a stretch for me sometimes. So I was like, what if you had a cable with a switch on it, and when you press that switch, it disengaged it and switched off the cable, and therefore the attenuator was in silent mode? And of course, I mentioned it to our good friends at Two Notes, and they laughed at me. Well, actually, they laughed at me when I said we should have a switch on it for sure. They're like, have you seen how little space there is in the thing? So then I, of course, in my, great British invention mind, came up with the ultimate solution, which is a sort of male to female jack with a switch in the middle. And then you said, you can say what you said.
Well, So let me clarify here. When I said this, because now that you say it that way, it gives me a different thought. And you caught me like just barely post coffee.
The best time.
Right. I thought you were saying like from your amplifier, take that cable what it would do is you'd be like removing your speaker cable. And no, if you're using a tube amp, do not remove your speaker cable. Don't do that. Bad idea. Assuming you're plugging into the captor from your amplifier, from that captor, you can either go like full volume or you can drop down, I think, negative 20 dB. So you cut 20 dB off of it.
I've got three settings on the Captor X, actually.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't have
the Captor X. So I'm in the middle setting where you need to get one.
I do need to.
And a hologram.
I'm not sure on their circuitry if you could do that or not. I don't know. I don't have their schematics.
But I didn't explain it fully to you, because in text I was like, Brian, idea, let's do this.
Right. And I was like, Richard, you're going to set your house on fire. Don't do that.
Again, this week.
But, this conversation has given me a weird flashback. That's sort of related, but it's also kind of an offshoot. I remember years ago, and this was before I really knew really much of anything about gear, but I knew a little bit. I was at a Guitar Center, or no, was it a local music store? Might have been a local. Oh yeah, it was that horrible local music store that closed. Anyway, they.
I love that one. That's the best.
That place sucked. It was awful. Good riddance. Anyway. I was there and I was looking for a cable to try to play this amp. Usually there's cables around somewhere. And I found a kind of a medium sized cable. It was probably 6 feet long or so. And I plugged it in and plugged it into this combo amplifier and started playing. And everything was fine. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy appears. What are you doing? What are you doing? Stop what you're doing. I'm like, whoa, what's happening? And he shuts the amp off and he's like, dude, you're using a speaker cable as an instrument cable. You're going to blow the amp up. I was like, I don't know that much about electronics at this point, but I'm pretty sure that's not how that works. I still have to this day, I think he was probably thinking something along the lines of what you were mentioning, like don't unplug a tube amp because then, you'll blow the transformers or something. I still am trying to figure it out. I'm like, it was working. I know you're not supposed to use a speaker cable as an instrument cable for other reasons, but it's not going to blow anything up.
Well, you don't want to use a guitar cable for a speaker cable.
Right.
You don't want to do
that.
That
for sure. Yeah, it's too small.
But
that's
using
not what
a speaker
doing.
Cable for like into the input of the amp, mm-hmm. you'll have some noise. You'll have a lot more noise. But I don't think you're going to mess anything up. I mean,
I don't know.
I'm not an engineer, but I don't think it works that way.
Well, why you, wouldn't you have to
why
be?
Why you say you're not an engineer?
Because I don't have a degree that says I'm an engineer.
Oh.
But yeah,
I won't go like, into my I almost went into my college rant just there. Like I almost stepped on my soapbox and went full dad mode, but I stopped myself.
You're the best engineer there is. Don't run yourself down, Brian. You know it.
It's been a while since we went on a good old education rant, though, Brian. It really has. We haven't done that in probably a year and a half. We used to go on those on a little more regular basis. Those were fun.
Yeah, then Reddit started calling me, like, you know, the dad pedal.
So you when know. You, well, and what's wrong with that?
No, nothing's wrong with that. I just, I'm known for my creation of guitar pedals, not so much on my views of education, I don't think.
Well, one subject bores me and the other gives me a lot of pleasure. I'll let you work that one out. So when you plugged the wrong cable into the amp, did firecrackers go off on the corner of the amplifier?
Nothing happened.
I've seen
all
that
I
happen.
Was...
That happened on Saturday Night Live. Come on.
Okay. Well, that's a different situation, see. That's when you beat those explosive-loaded cabinets or whatever. I don't remember. Didn't we already talk about this?
Just a bit.
A little bit.
This is a comedy
sort of callback here. Oh, yeah, we did. We did, like, a whole episode on it.
Callback here.
Right.
It's gone wrong for me yet again.
Yeah.
So, Intonation 335, what's happened?
Okay,
I forgot we were going to talk about that. Go for it.
My little studio here inside of my barn is incredibly dry during the winter. Like, really, really, really dry. I don't have a meter. But if I had to guess, it would say, uh-oh, you screwed up, if you could look at the readout. So as such, I've had to, like, completely change my action twice now on that 335 because of temperatures. And before I did this video for the Ratsbane, which I'm doing after we get done here, I had to re-intonate it. And I had to move the saddles of the bridge back so far. I actually, on the G string, I think I hit the limit. I can't move it back anymore.
So now
I'm at a point, I'm like, I think I actually need to mess with the truss rod. And I'm a little bit scared to screw something up. You know? Like, I can move bridges up and down all day long, but I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be a little nervous, but I am a little nervous. For some reason, truss rods scare me.
Oh, I think they scare everyone, right? I think a truss rod is like the engine management system of your guitar. It's a mysterious thing that nobody knows, like, how to fiddle except a few learned, skilled professionals, right?
It's like messing with the crankshaft in a 69 Mustang.
Exactly,
you know?
That. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Now,
I can tune the carburetor, but
I will say I'm not a tech, and I am far from the best guitar mechanic out there, but I've done a little bit of truss rod tweaking in my day, and, you know, as long as you go a little bit at a time, take your time with it, it's really hard to screw it up. I'm just worried of twist.
I'm worried about doing, like, turning it too much and screwing the neck up. Because it's an Epiphone 335. It's like a $500, $600 guitar or whatever. So it's not like a $10,000, you know, vintage 335 or anything. But it just plays so good. It plays so good. Oh, my God, I love it so much. I love it so much. Anyways, all right. I do love it so much.
Maybe being abducted by aliens there for a second. I wasn't sure what was happening.
That was me sobbing like a baby because of happiness is what that was.
I thought you were being teleported to another dimension.
I'm not going to say what I thought was happening there. It's definitely illegal. quite disturbing. And I don't want to have to witness that again, Brian.
No, that's me sobbing like a baby because I love this guitar so much. And I don't want to mess it up, you know.
I mean, I always imagine whenever I'm sort of doing the truss rod, I sort of have to look away a bit and just like twist it a little bit and look back. Ah, oh, it's still there. It's fine. Let's do it a little bit more. Yeah, it's still fine. But no, it is a dark art messing with truss rods if you don't know what you're doing, kids.
Yeah,
stay away from truss rods.
I did buy a humidifier, though. Now, I know what you're thinking. You have like a bunch of guitars. Why don't you have a humidifier? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Because I'm an idiot. And I should have got one a long time ago. And I didn't. And as such, you can't see it on the podcast, but you guys can. I have a lot of guitars behind me. All of them need to be adjusted now because of the humidity.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on this last week. It's never been an issue for me because my house is maintained at a constant 30 degrees Celsius by my wife, who likes to live in a tropical paradise, it seems. But humidity in England is generally pretty stable because it's such a wet, small country surrounded by wet water. But yeah, you guys are really struggling with it at the moment, right?
30 degrees Celsius, 86 degrees Fahrenheit? Holy crap, man.
I may have exaggerated for comedy effect, but I'm not joking. I went to the thermostat earlier, and it's a smart thermostat, so I can adjust it from my phone. And I went to it, and it was set to 24.5 degrees C, which is, you know, hotter than it is in Spain in summer sometimes.
That's 76. Okay, that's about what we keep our house at. So, yeah, I'm with that.
The human body should be kept less than that. Why do you want to boil slowly?
I'm glad you asked. So, because I don't like winter. And so when it's winter here, I turn up the inside so it reflects a little bit more of summer vibes, you know? That way I can wear shorts, got my flip-flops going on in the house, you know, maybe throw some good music on, you know? Little Bob Marley,
bit of,
you know, chill out.
Some James Buffett.
So a little, put a little Jimmy on there, little Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, I do. Turn all the lights on, let it be daylight. Heck yeah, man! 150 watt bulbs and everything. Yep.
I'm backwards.
Is that why all our pedals are so bright?
that's why our LEDs were so bright. Yes,
because every time we design a pedal, Brian sends it back and goes, "Nope, it needs to be brighter than the sun." I said,
"I can still see the controls when I look down. Make it brighter." No, actually, we have dimmed down those LEDs. For those wondering,
both people who are wondering,
right, both of you who are wondering. All right, fellas, it's like 50 degrees Celsius, not Celsius. It's not that hot out. It's
Whoa.
It's really nice outside. And I think I need a little bit of sunshine for a little bit. So I'm going to play a little hooky from work a little bit.
You are definitely lacking in something today, Brian. The screeching and screaming a few minutes ago is indicative of that. Before we go, did you guys both catch the landing, the high definition video of the Mars landing last night?
I did.
I watched it after the fact.
Yeah.
I was trying to watch it live, but then Brian rang me. was that or was that not one of the most stunning pieces of footage ever?
I actually enjoyed the YouTube comments. I like watching the YouTube comments on those videos because because of a lot of flat earth speak and
NASA stuff. This is Marvel Studios.
Right. Yeah.
Why have you made it a mini pedal?
These are the best graphics and the worst graphics ever.
But they've also picked up some sounds as well, which I haven't heard yet. Have you guys heard that?
I haven't heard the sounds bit.
I grabbed them.
I missed that.
I grabbed those sounds.
Yeah, I was going to say
them for something.
You've beaten me to it. I was like, I've got to sample that. I don't even know what it is yet, but I'm going to sample it. But then I thought, I bet Blake's doing it for his for his album of sci-fi guitar works or whatever it is this week.
So it's alien sounds is what you're saying.
It's
you can
just,
hear the aliens speak.
It's really not much. It could honestly, I mean, it could be anything, but the fact that it is from Mars is what makes it cool. It's just like wind and, you know, it's not a lot. There's not exactly things just walking around down there or up there, rather.
That's just what they want you to know, Blake. You don't know the full story because you're not enlightened like me.
I know. I haven't made it to the ice shelf yet, so I don't know the true depths.
I mean, if you wanted wind recording, I could definitely help you with that after a curry. this house, not a problem. Not a problem. But I can't wait to...
Wind broken?
Plenty of broken wind. I can't wait to check out your album, The Sounds from Mars. But I've watched that video like 3 or 4 times, and every time it really does make me feel... Maybe a little bit like how our parents and grandparents felt when they saw, you know, the obviously faked by Stanley Kubrick moon landings back in the 60s,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That were filmed in a set at Shepperton.
Right.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Like, it honestly made me feel like a little kid. I was like, they're on Mars. Like, they're not, but, like, you know, we've sent something to Mars, and it's sending stuff back.
You know why I think it's fake? Who's the one that recorded this? You know? How come we can't hear from that person?
I mean,
you know, someone had to hold the camera. You know?
How can that probe get a stable Wi-Fi connection out there when I only get one bar on my cell phone and I'm in a village surrounded by, you know, major technologies? It's obviously fake.
Right. We know it ain't Comcast out there on Mars. We know that for sure. That's probably a joke that only you here in the Midwest will get.
But. Well, you know, it'd be a whole lot easier to get signal from Mars if you guys would stop sabotaging the 5G towers.
That's right. Put that metal zone in that vaccine and let's get
we've
some 5G
full
going.
Circle. We're back to the metal zone. If we can't bring every episode back to the metal zone 5G chip, we're failing, boys. We're failing.
Yeah.
So, okay, so one more thing that Metal Zone actually reminded me of something before we call it quits for the day, because I really need to, you know, cut out some work here. So before I did the Ratsbane, I did some Metal Zone mods, changing it to a rat. Do you recall that by chance? Do you know when that was? Was that 16, 17?
That was a while ago. I do vaguely remember that, though.
So I'm thinking about mentioning that in my video. I don't know, though. But I need accurate information. And I remember doing them, but I don't remember when it was. I only did a handful of them for fun. Then I got bored of it and stopped.
I think I saw it on YouTube
Google
the
machine.
Other day, maybe. Yeah, use the Google.
Mm-hmm. I shall consult the Oracle. All right, guys. Thanks for the podcasting. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. That goes straight to me. Email Blake. Email info@tonemob.com. And Richard is richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends and others who might like it. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is just simply to share this with a friend. Maybe leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Make sure to check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. It's a great one as well. And make sure to check out Wampler Pedals, that's our website, for blogs, videos, and of course, our little toneful gadgets, our little pedals and amplifier. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.